welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to be back.
Good. It is nice to be back, and we're going to talk today about fractures in men. It's important to understand that osteoporosis is a leading cause of morbidity and mortality, and mostly in elderly people. I think our listeners would generally associate osteoporosis with women. It certainly is less common in men than in women, yet about 8 million men in the United States have low bone mass and osteoporosis. The mortality rate, interestingly, associated with hip fractures as well as vertebral fractures and other major bone fractures is higher in men than it is in women. In addition, men are even less likely than women to be evaluated or receive medications to treat this. You found a journal article, again from the New England Journal of Medicine. It asks the question, is zoledronic acid effective for the prevention of fractures in men with osteoporosis? For those listeners who want to find the article, it was published in 2012, volume 367, number 18, on page 1714. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, you sort of stumbled over the name a little bit, and I think they're thinking of renaming it the New England Journal of Industry-Sponsored Trials, actually. So
exactly.
I've been reviewing this journal for 18 years now, as you know, we divide up the 120 or so journals that we review for poems, and I got about 20 of them, and New England Journal is mine. And it's all, you know, usually three or four big industry-sponsored trials a month that I end up having to write up. So this is one of them. And yeah, previously, there really hadn't been any clinical trials in men with osteoporosis that looked at patient-oriented outcomes, you know, fractures. And they'd looked at disease markers like bone density. And that's why the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has an I recommendation in terms of screening for osteoporosis in men, because there really is insufficient evidence to this point. So this study, they included about 1,200 men who were 50 to 85 years, and they all had osteoporosis, and they defined it as a T-score of negative 2.5 or less at the hip or femoral neck, or negative 1.5 or less, but also seeing 1 to 3 pre-existing vertebral fractures. They excluded anyone who had taken a bisphosphonate in the past couple of years. And they were randomized to get the zoledronic acid, which is a 5-milligram IV infusion given once a year, or placebo. And they followed them, they gave another injection 12 months later, and they followed them for up to 2 years. So they all also got calcium and vitamin D in pretty healthy doses. The groups were similar at the baseline. They had about a 90% follow-up rate. And what they did, if someone was, got the infusion at the baseline, they got the infusion at 12 months, but then they didn't show up for the 24-month visit, they used statistical hocus-pocus to impute what the outcome would have been predicted to be. So it sounds more, you know, worse than it is. It's actually a pretty commonly used technique, so that's probably okay. So the primary outcome was the likelihood of what they call a morphometric vertebral fracture, and that basically means that when they took a picture of the vertebrae, you know, and then a year later they took another picture, if it was significantly smaller or flatter or that was evidence of a fracture, even if the man didn't feel anything, didn't have any back pain, hadn't noticed anything. And so that's most of us would consider that a kind of an intermediate outcome. It's not really a patient-oriented outcome, which is a symptomatic fracture. So there were fewer of these morphometric fractures, 1.6% versus 4.9%, so the number needed to treat was 33. The real patient-oriented outcome is symptomatic fracture, and there was no significant difference for any kind of symptomatic fracture. The men in the zoledronic acid group, the real concern I had here was that they had a significantly increased risk of MI compared to the placebo group. It was 1.5 versus 0.3%.
Wow.
And this same drug, zoledronic acid, has also been reported to increase atrial fibrillation in women in a previous New England Journal study. And so, yeah, we need to talk about that a little bit. The bottom line is that The zoledronic acid reduced radiographically reduced fractures, but didn't significantly reduce symptomatic fractures. And I think I have a couple real problems with the study. One is, would have been nice to see a comparison with generic bisphosphonate, which we'll never see them sponsor. So that's one issue. And then the other is the safety issue. This is probably the highest risk group, being older guys that have ever gotten zoledronic acid. You know, there's higher risk of cardiovascular events in men. So that may be why it hasn't been seen in other studies and in women. So one of the things I'm planning to do is try to get my hands on some of the FDA filings and look at what are the cardiovascular events, maybe do a meta-analysis for harms, because I'm seeing this pattern. I haven't seen it reported too much elsewhere.
Hey, also, if I remember correctly, sometime in the spring of 2012, the FDA issued a warning about atypical fractures with long-term use of some of these bisphosphonates. I don't know if this would fall into that category, but that's something we want to watch out for as well.
So I think mid-shaft femoral fractures.
Yeah.
And the number of those atypical fractures was smaller than the number of fractures prevented, the more typical fractures. But still, you know, there are some concerns. And, increasingly, I think we're thinking about using these drugs for 3 to 5 years and then stopping. And also, I think we can be very thoughtful about when we screen women. At least we have good data on women. If someone is, 60 years old and has a normal bone density study, then basically they don't need to be screened again. The chance that after 15 years they progress to osteoporosis is less than 1 in 10. On the other hand, people of borderline, we might want to screen them in 3 to 5 years or 1 to 2 years, so we can target our screening interval to their baseline risk. And so I think there was a nice study in New England Journal last year about that, and hopefully the guidelines will start to reflect that.
Great. Thanks, Mark. I think the take-home message here is something we need to watch out for, but not a major change in clinical practice at this point. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I would like to see a study of bisphosphonates in this population. I suspect it's probably going to be roughly similar to what we see in women. And, if I had a guy, I would tend to prefer the bisphosphonate, especially given the possible, risk of acute MI.
Excellent. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks so much, Mark.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.